that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So I think it's safe to say we're both really tired right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you slept for 2 hours?
Like a week, 2 hours.
Okay.
Basically been finishing this record over the last couple of days, so all I've been doing is sitting in front of my computer doing mixing. It's nice, but woof,
and
I spent.
I just got back from London and I had a nightmare of a flight. It was great. I was there for the Star Wars celebration weekend, and I just love London. So like, I'd just be in there for a weekend. I was thinking we could do a cheat meal podcast on that, but you're not into Star Wars, so it'd be kind of just it'd be very one sided.
It
wouldn't make for much of an interesting
it would
podcast.
Be Star but Wars,
yes, that good one. anyway, yeah, but no, it was a miserable time coming back. Like, I'll tell you a quick story about that. So I get to the airport, 2.5 hours ahead of time. I'm online, giant line. So I'm like, all right, well, I got carry-on luggage. I don't have a big thing. I was only there for 3 days. I get to the check-in terminal, and it's not working. Like the little kiosk where you go do it by yourself. So I go to I'm forced to get on this stupid line. And it barely moves. So I go to one of the people, one of the guys working there. I'm like, look, my flight leaves soon. Is there any way that you can help me out or get me to another line or get me, to see someone? Cause I just need to check in. I don't have luggage. And he's like, nope, sorry. Get in line. Like, everybody's having that issue. Our computers aren't working. So you're just going to have to wait. So I'm waiting. Another half hour goes by. I find somebody else. I ask the same thing. She basically says the same thing. So we get to the point where I've got about 45 minutes to my flight. So I give up. There's no way I'm going to get seen. So I call my wife. I'm like, look, I'm probably not going to be home tonight because I'm waiting on this giant line and there, nobody's helping me. And then as I'm talking to her, somebody yells out, anyone to New York, come to the front of the line. So I'm like, I'm saved. I get off the phone with her. I run to the front of the line. I'm waiting. I'm the next person to be seen. When I'm finally seen, the guy's like doing this stuff on the computer. He goes, does it once, does it a second time. He's like repeating the same thing. I'm like, oh crap, what's going on? So he looks at me, he's like, look, I'm really sorry, but you needed to check in 35 minutes ahead and it's 30 minutes. So I don't think I can get you on the flight, but let me call and see what I could do.
So you were there 2.5 hours.
Yeah. So
I would have been screaming.
So this guy calls. So, and this guy, to his credit, is yelling at the person out of their line. He's like, listen, this guy's been waiting here for 2.5 hours. It's not his fault. Just put him in. But the person wasn't listening. So he hangs up. He's like, look, I'm really sorry. You're going to miss your flight. So you got to get on that other line. So he sends me to another line.
You should have had them upgrade you to first class for that.
Yeah, me and the other. Well, so he sends me to this other line, right? I get to this line and the guy that's kind of controlling the line, he's talking to other people. Like, listen, I got 1,000 people to reschedule. Our computers are down. So I can't help you with your benign problem. Like, someone was asking him some silly question. So like, obviously, like, there was some issue with British Airways computers, and there were just tons of people who had missed their flights. So anyway, I wait another hour and a half on this second line. Now, by the time in an hour and a half, I'm finally like at the front of the line, and this line has grown by 5 times. So I don't even want to think about whoever was at the end of that line. It was awful. But it got to the point where they were feeding us. And there was a guy with a giant stack of papers, like, saying to the entire everyone online, like, look, here are vouchers. If you guys want, you can just go to a hotel. Here's, they had a voucher for food and voucher for hotels. Like, just stay at the hotel and we'll figure it out in the morning for you. If you want to stay online, you can stay online. Otherwise, like, just go sleep and come back in the morning. So I finally get to the front of the line. It's 6 o'clock. And so the woman's doing something on the computer. And then she looks at me. She's like, all right, listen, you have a half hour to get to terminal 3. So I'm in terminal 5 in Heathrow. She's like, you have a half hour. If you think you can get there in a half hour, I can get you on an American Airlines flight that leaves at 7:30. So I'm like, well, it's 6. Why not? She's like, well, no, you have to be there at 6:30 because it's an hour before check-in. Otherwise, they won't let you on. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm going to take the chance. So she gets a ticket. I sprint down. There's like the Heathrow Express, which takes you from terminal to terminal. So I sprint down. I barely get on this express train, which only runs every 15 minutes. Like, literally, I had a minute. If I had been a minute later, I wouldn't have gotten on this train. I get on the train. It gets me there. I get to the desk with like 3 minutes to go. And I walk in and the woman's like, she's like, oh my God, you got to get checked in. She checks me in, gets me set up, and I'm back in New York. But instead of getting home at 9 o'clock, I was home.
I'd imagine if you'd missed that one.
Yeah. Oh God, that would have been horrible. So, instead I was home, at like midnight. And then by the time I finished with the dogs and unpacking and showering and all that stuff, it was, it was like 1 or 2. Now, the one good thing is that I did get the extra leg room, so I didn't get first class. But it's amazing. I've flown first class once, and that was, you know, by kind of just luck. But it was amazing how much that extra leg room meant. Like it was so much more of a comfortable trip than going the other way. But yeah, so that's why my long-winded story about why I'm tired. Anyway, on to the actual podcast and talking about fitness. We have a great interview set up with Tammy Peavy, who is a physical therapist, tons of experience, 15 years of experience, really, really knowledgeable on just how the body affects the way that, you know, how your posture affects the way that you age. And she's made tons of appearances. She's been on the Today Show, and she's just really, really knowledgeable. We had a great conversation with her. So we, without further ado, will punch you guys into our conversation with Tammy Peavy. We're here with Tammy Peavy, a physical therapist with over 15 years of experience. And she runs the website practicaltherapyforyou.com. Tammy, why don't you give us a little bit of background on your experience in the industry?
Sure. Okay. Well, as you said, I've been in the industry for over 15 years in physical rehabilitation, focusing on patients with pain, injuries, any kinds of diseases, usually neurological, aging disorders. And one of our big focuses is on postural deformities and trying to prevent postural deformities with an aging population. We have I have two clinics here in California, and we created the website because of the demand from our patients who are always looking for ways to take their therapy home. You know, after you've completed your 4 weeks of therapy, they always wanted a reminder about the exercises and movement patterns that we've taught them because they are so unique. And so we developed the website and made these DVDs available as well as educational videos for free to everybody.
Fantastic. So now, Tammy, what is your background in health and wellness? And did you always know that you wanted to work in this industry?
Pretty much. I think, you know, I was in college and graduate school. I taught aerobics classes, different kinds of fitness classes. I was a personal trainer in college. And it seemed to be a natural evolution to go from the gym into the clinical situation for me. And it definitely is a calling of mine that, you know, I fulfilled and really enjoy very much.
Now, so one of the interesting things that I've noticed through reading through your website and some of your videos is the idea that posture is a significant contributor to the aging process. So I'd like to know, I guess, how does that work? Like, what's the process? Like, how does posture really contribute to that? Because that's something that typically we don't think about as far as anti-aging or the aging process. I think it's typically not connected, and it's a really interesting idea.
Well, actually, the thing that will age you the fastest is poor posture. And it's one of the first things people notice about you when you come in contact with them. And that certainly conveys a lot about you psychologically, whether you're confident about yourself and your body and what you're doing, or you have some reservations. In addition, the biggest thing is that posture is one of the leading causes to things like premature arthritis. Shrinking in height is probably the only main cause for shrinking is very poor posture, a constant head forward posture in dealing with your computer or driving in your car. And you're basically going through life not fighting gravity in any way. So the posture suffers, your bone suffers, your oxygen exchange suffers because you're not expanding your chest like you used to because of all the weight forward. And it's also been linked to other things, certain types of diseases in the body as well. So posture, first and foremost, is the main reason for people losing height and having some bone issues with regard to arthritis and postural deformities that turn into permanent deformities in your life. So it's definitely something that needs to be addressed on a daily basis and not just going to the gym and trying to do some exercises at the end of the day. It's something you have to be aware of throughout your day because gravity doesn't take a break. It's working on you 24/7.
So you would say that gravity is the main cause for posture issues. Are there any other issues that people might contribute to people having issues with their posture?
Well, it's not gravity per se. It's us giving in to gravity. So, okay. For instance, you know, you kind of look at the body from head to toe. Let's start with the head. the head weighs about 10 to 12 pounds, and that's fine. However, as soon as you drop your chin 1 inch, looking down at a computer screen, driving, this kinds of habitual activities throughout the day, 1 inch turns that 10 to 12 pound head into a 31 pound head.
Well, I'm feeling my heavy head right now.
And 2 inches, which is the typical way that people look at their phone, down by their chest with their chin dropped, that is a 41 pound head. And maintaining that posture throughout your day in doing the activities that we do creates a lot of pressure, not only on the neck and the shoulders move forward to support the head, but all that weight translates right down to the back and is a major contributing problem for back pain.
So as a trainer, and then also someone who's worked closely with a number of physical therapists, I find that one of the hardest things to do, you can get clients to be really consistent when you're seeing them, but to get them to be consistent with exercises on their own, especially things that they don't see or kind of feel results, things that really focus on their posture and flexibility and movement, but maybe not something that's like a bench press or some kind of conditioning drill where you really feel the exercise. How do you keep people consistent and focused on something that kind of feels tedious?
That's a great question. First, visually. So I show them all the horrible pictures of bad posture and what it can do to you. And then show them this wonderful diagram, how heavy is your head. And it shows geometrically how the pressure increases. And most people can relate directly to that. And they see themselves in that pattern. And they can say, oh, I remember my mother or my father, you know, had a rounded back, a big old hump on the back. So I think the first thing is just visually to say, is this where you want to be in 5 to 10 years? Because this is the direction that you're going. Yeah. So you do just have to kind of instill a little bit of fear of God into them in the beginning so that they recognize this is a significant problem. And then secondly, the trick is, and I think we've done this well in our program, is we integrate movement patterns throughout the day. And we give them typical things to do. So if they're in their car, every time they come to a stoplight, you know, hopefully they're not looking at their phone or their text, and they have a few minutes to fight gravity by doing a therapeutic movement. Standing in front of your kitchen counter waiting for your coffee, there's an opportunity to do something very easily there. Everybody brushes their teeth at least, you know, twice a day. So you're standing at a counter, you have the perfect opportunity to fight gravity. So a lot of it is not just saying this is what you do at the end of the day or three times a day or whatever. This is when you do when this situation happens. This is what you do when this situation happens. And keeping it very minimal so that they don't have to remember a lot of different things, not a bazillion different exercises and different reps and different times of day. So we keep it simple. We, you know, utilize the KISS strategy and keep everything very simple.
So you would say really the first step in combating this is really being aware of it, because that's even though you can simplify it, it is a lot to remember. While, you know, before I brush my teeth, I need to do something. Before I look at my phone, when I'm in my car, so I'm not aware of this. So for now, this has just sort of opened me up to a whole new way of thinking.
Sure. Well, you really do have to remember gravity is not your friend. No. And if you can recognize that it's working on you every day, one of the things, there's a video on the site called 2 Minutes to a Better Neck. And it illustrates graphically what happens to you when you continue to work throughout your day in this head forward posture. And it's the primary leading cause of a double chin. Mm-hmm. As you lean into gravity, gravity takes its toll on you and starts to pull on the extra skin and fat that's available to it there with that head forward posture. And before you know it, someone's got a double chin. Before you know it, they've got a hump on the neck. So recognizing that postural decline is something that happens to everyone and will happen to you no matter how many times you hit that gym, if you don't do movement patterns to fight that gravitational pull and process of becoming debilitated, you'll give into it. And as you give into it, your posture will be increasingly forward. And as you age, you'll end up with neck pain, and then you'll have back pain. And ultimately, you might be on a single-point cane. You might be on a walker. I mean, it's just a downhill process. So once people become aware of that, that this can happen to even the most, you know, healthy, agile, and, you know, the best gym rats in the world, people kind of understand that they've got to implement strategies throughout their day.
So how reversible is it? If you have somebody who's, who has really poor posture, like how hard is it to correct?
You know, it really depends on what stage you're at.
Yeah.
You know, if you are permanently fixed in the 30, you know, pound head forward position, the best we could do is prevent you from ending up in the 40 pound position. So we want to maintain what you've got now and strengthen up your extensor muscles. And it's all about extension. You know, it's that's the philosophy, is teaching people how to live in extension rather than forward flexion, because most of your daily activities are in forward flexion. You're sitting, that's in forward flexion. You know, you're standing at a desk looking down at something, that's forward flexion. And 98% of our activities during the day are in the forward flexion position. So it's all about extension if you're going to fight that aging process.
So you sort of answered this question with everything that you're saying, but just how prevalent of an issue is this in society today, and especially maybe in the United States, posture issues?
I'm sorry, you broke up for just a second. What did you say again?
What I was saying was, how prevalent in society, how common is this for people to deal with these issues?
Everybody does. Yeah. Everybody deals with it eventually.
It's like death and taxes.
Exactly. And, you know, it used to be people would come into the clinic in their, like, 40s and 50s with neck pain, shoulder pain, everything related to their posture. But now I'm seeing it at a much earlier age. I'm seeing people in their 30s, typically they have jobs that have a lot of repetitive movement, sitting at a desk. Their screen is too low, so their head is constantly looking down. Their chin is down. They're driving a lot. Driving is, you know, one of the worst culprits for back pain, shoulder pain, and the worst kind of posture. A lot of these things. And sitting, just the fact of sitting, you know, you're sitting on one of your strongest extensor muscles all day long. And that kind of gives way to weakness and disability, you know, for the future.
So is it, this is something I've heard, and I forget if I've read what I've read about it. It's been a while, but is it true that, like, kind of indigenous cultures actually have significantly less posture issues because they're not in that, when they're sitting, if they are sitting, it's in like a squat, and they're not in the kind of our kind of westernized always sitting in a chair or sitting in a car, that, you know, that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Do they actually have better or less posture and movement issues than we do?
Well, you can find some articles and research about that. I think the most recent one had to do with the J spine. You know, they found a indigenous culture that carried a lot of weight on their heads. And so as a result, you know, they lost their neck curve.
Oh,
okay. So they end up with kind of a J curve. So the body kind of, you know, moves and accommodates in different ways. I don't know. I haven't spoke with them if they have, you know, back pain or neck pain, but I would imagine if you carry 10 pounds on your head every day, there's got to be some pain involved there.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily good that it isn't good that you're losing your neck curve, because those two curves in your body, your neck curve is your primary curve, which is developed when you're a baby and you start lifting your head, and your secondary curve, which is the curve in the lower part of your back, that's developed when you start sitting as a baby. And these two curves are critical, because as you move through life, they become your shock absorbers.
Yeah.
And if you start altering that by hanging your head forward all the time, sitting all the time, you're really putting a lot of pressure on your two extremely important curves, and losing the curves, you know, is just a recipe for significant pain in the neck and the back.
So one thing that's very trendy in the fitness industry right now, and has been maybe for the last few years, as function has become more important, is core strengthening. But we might find that core, just because you strengthen your core, doesn't mean you're going to correct your posture or issues that might be associated with it. Are there any myths when it comes to core strengthening and how it and how it affects one's posture?
Well, It's interesting about the core. I mean, it's a wonderful, you know, thought. It's a great marketing tool, and everybody seems to be on the whole core buzzword. And that's definitely true. I think the more awareness people have about their body, you know, that makes a difference. And if that's the way you get to them by the core, that's great. But however, you know, early in grad school, when I was at Medical College of Georgia, you know, we were looking at study after study that showed the relationship to back pain and the abdominals. And, you know, we just couldn't find it. We could not find that the strengthening of the abdominals is going to affect back pain or your posture. You really have to get deep down in there in the rectus abdominis to affect your posture, and most people aren't working at that deep, deep level. And besides that, we really don't need to depend on that. It's a smaller muscle than your most important muscle in your body, which is your gluteus maximus. Largest muscle in your body connects the top and the bottom part of your body. So as it gets weak, then the body hinges forward. As it gets stronger, the body hinges into extension. So I really try to demystify the whole core thing, because people are too easy to run to that. And, you know, you can do sit-ups and leg raises, you know, all day long. It's not going to affect your posture and certainly your back pain. Again, put it in your mind, both of those movements I just described do what? Put you again in forward flexion. Wow. So if you're spending 98% of your day in the position of forward flexion, and then you go and exercise and you put yourself again in those positions of forward flexion, I don't see the progress.
Yeah. So now, I guess this would lead to this question. Are there any other myths about your posture, whether it comes to either strengthening or pain relief? Any other myths out there, or any other information that you've seen circulating that might not be true?
Well, I guess the common one I see, if patients come in and maybe they're having some posture issues and certainly back pain, and the first thing they are told to do is lay down on their back and pull one knee up into their chest and stretch out their back. So I think there is a huge myth out there that stretching out your back is going to minimize your back pain. And to a certain extent, you might feel some relief there just because of the spasms that happen when you have weak glutes. But generally speaking, again, if you're doing that, what position are you putting yourself into? Forward flexion. So you're stretching out the glutes, which is your primary muscle that you need for strength and balance and good posture and no back pain, instead of doing what you need to do, which is strengthening. So just kind of on a fundamental level, if someone could put into their mind, and this is the education process, and I think that's why we're so successful with our programs, is because we educate and empower you to take better care of your body. And if you become aware through education and empowerment, you're going to have much better compliance. So the idea is to stretch the front part of your body and strengthen the back part of your body, because everything behind you will determine how you age.
That makes a lot of sense, and yeah, I think we're such a forward. Everything is forward. Everything is visual, and I definitely see that with my own clients. That there's always the stronger front, and not nearly enough effort put into the back. It's just one of the most common things. And I noticed too. You know, obviously my scope is about, you know, fitness and performance, and so I stay away from, you know, if somebody has an injury or an issue, I always refer them out. I've definitely noticed that when some kind of intuitively their reaction is, oh, my back hurts, I need to strengthen my abs, I need to do more, like,
exactly.
and then it's like they'll do leg raises and all kinds of stuff and stretching the back, and yeah, there isn't enough effort, you know, and it's, I guess it's just not common knowledge for whatever reason.
So what are some of the exercises that you would recommend people doing to you know, strengthen everything they need to strengthen?
Well, I guess, you know, getting back to the whole myth thing, because I love to debunk myths out there like you do.
We do. Yeah. We're all about it.
Here's one that is a big myth, and that is, you know, to functionally or to strengthen your glutes, you know, what have you been told all your life? The main exercise to strengthen your glutes is what?
I'm going to say I would say the thing people talk about are lunges and squats. Or
there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's a big myth, especially functionally. Now, it might be great if you're under 25, but, you know, we don't all stay there. We age and our body changes. However, and I've done this testing through the Athos wearable technology where you put on, you know, capris and a vest and you attach electrodes to yourself and you do these movement patterns and find out which muscles are firing. So when you do a squat, I mean, the glutes really don't fire until the very last moment when you come up, and only if you kind of move your hips forward. It's really a lot to go through on your knees and your back just to get that tiny little bit of, you know, contraction in the glutes. The glutes, you know, really fire the best when you are standing or laying down in your stomach and you take the leg behind you. That's the whole job of the glutes, is, you know, hip extension. So that's one of the things we cover in the Better Back DVD. In fact, the first 40% of the movement patterns are done on the bed. And we want that because we want a soft surface. We want the body to give and move like it's meant to, not put it down on the floor on a hard surface that's going to create, you know, no resistance and movement there. So that's one of the first things that we do, is teach people how to put their legs in extension in a safe way that contracts the glutes. And we like to do it on a bed because there's no gravity involved except for the lifting of the leg against gravity. Very gentle and small movements as well. So, you know, without going through the whole system of glute strengthening, just to suffice to say that a lot of these, all these movements involve taking the leg into extension behind your body. And if you look at a couple of the videos on there, you'll see, and we draw a plumb line right down the center. If someone does a squat, are they taking the leg behind their body? No, they're not. The leg stays in place, right? So the glutes really aren't firing to their maximum capacity unless you're standing, and then slowly drag that leg as far as you can behind you and contract the glute. There's your maximum contraction.
So after reading your blog on your website, I saw a couple of interesting articles, and if you can maybe talk a little bit about them, because it's really important that people understand. One was the sitting is the new smoking article. Maybe if you could give people a little bit of an idea of how I guess detrimental sitting can be to your health.
Exactly, and it's interesting. You know, why would you equate it to smoking? And that is because they've actually discovered, and I think this went way back into the trolley days, where the research was showing that the trolley operators who were sitting all the day compared to the ones that were standing, the ones who sat down, I believe, had 2 to 3 times the cardiovascular risk right off the top, because apparently there's an enzyme that it slows down or levels lower to protect your heart when you're doing prolonged sitting. So as a result, with that, you know, cardiovascular disease is right up there at the top of the list. And then, of course, high blood pressure, you know, lack of movement, diabetes, and even certain types of, you know, cancers, breast cancer, colon cancer, are linked to people who are positions of prolonged sitting throughout their lives on a day-to-day basis. It's definitely a very detrimental. And I think, you know, the market has kind of responded a lot to this too, because you'll see the advent of desks, you know, now.
Yeah, I'm just about to ask you about.
Yeah, and some of them, they're great. In fact, you know, I know IKEA has one now. You can get it for, I think, under $400, the Becant desk. And through just pushing a little electrical button, the whole desk will rise up, and then when you want to sit down, it'll rise lower. And those are fabulous. As long as you're making the adjustments on your computer screen in accordance as you stand up. So it's not going to help you if you stand up and you're still looking down at a screen. You've defeated the whole purpose of standing. But just to give everybody a tip out there, your computer screen, your phone screen, everything should be raised up to where the bottom of your viewing screen, whether it's your phone or your tablet or your desktop, should be level with your chin when it's held in a level position. So if your chin is held at that 90 degrees, then the bottom of the screen should be at the 90 degrees as well. So it's really important to make that adjustment if you're going to put yourself in one of the standing desks. The treadmill desks, I have seen people that have gotten those. We tried it out for a while, but it's very difficult to, write and type while you're walking because your whole body
I can imagine.
Is kind of, exactly. So, great idea and execution. I'm not sure it fits the workplace, but love the idea of the electric desks that pop up and get people out of that sitting position. The other thing that's important to note about the sitting is the degree to which your brain becomes less active. Because if you're sitting for prolonged periods of time and your posture, coming forward, you're actually decreasing the ability of your chest to expand and contract and give you that full oxygenation through your lungs, hence, less oxygen to your brain. Therefore, you get that kind of fog in the afternoon and, realize as you get more stressed through your work or whatever you're doing on the computer, you start to breathe very shallow. So then you've got the sitting plus the shallow breathing, poor oxygenation. It's amazing everybody's not asleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at their desks.
And of course, people will try to remedy that not always the best ways by drinking energy drinks and stuff like that. So it's a vicious cycle. So the Jim Witz did an episode on the office survival, which dealt a lot with sitting and you're stuck in one place. If you can't really stretch, you can't really exercise. What are some little things that you can do? Do you have any other tips? The one about the screen was fantastic. Do you have any other tips for people that work in an office or drive a lot, just throughout the day, little things that they can do that could be called working out, dividend, money in the bank for fitness? Or is there anything of that nature that you would recommend that just like they pay dividends if you keep doing these things, little tips just that help over the years?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the ergonomics of your office environment are very important too. And it's important that you have a chair that allows you to do these certain things. So if you had a chair that came up and actually had and it has a headrest. And it's not about, getting a lumbar support for your back and just making it as comfortable as you can. Because the point is not to sit in that chair, it's to get up and move. But anyway, there's one, I don't know if I have it on my website, that has a headrest to it. And you can take these breaks basically by pushing your back and your head into the chair behind you, and it moves and it gives you some resistance and movement. So what you've done by just pushing back into the headrest into your chair is you've activated your extensor muscles that are being so stretched out by your constant leaning forward, writing, typing, looking at your screen. So putting your body into extension is important. If you can stand up and move behind your chair and hold onto your chair, extend your leg behind you and stretch out the front of your body and contract all the muscles in the back of the body. It's this, everyday process of stretch and contract, stretch and contract. And when you don't do that, you give in to the deformities that, lay ahead of you. As far as the car goes, same principle. In fact, a lot of people get sciatica from driving a lot, back pain, and it kind of shoots down the back of their leg. And a lot of that is from prolonged sitting in the car. What I suggest, with them is every time they come to a stoplight, they're doing this extension movement, pressing their elbows and their shoulders and their head back into the headrest, activating the extensor muscles. And then for the lower part of the body, pressing the free leg against the door, contracting the gluteus medius and maximus, and in that contraction you're forcing a lot of blood and circulation up into the spinal area, and you're relieving some of the pressure on that sciatic nerve. So that's just kind of a tip in the car. I'd love to do a whole show on the car, because there's so many people, especially here in Los Angeles, that spend a multitude of hours and hours every year in their car, trapped in their car 3-4 hours a day. So
what do you think about the idea of the standing car, like in the Flintstones?
There we go. That hasn't been brought
It's a good
out
idea,
there,
right?
Has it? Yeah, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, an extension. Yep.
So there was one other blog article I thought was really interesting. We've kind of touched on it, but maybe you can talk a little bit about how Well, the article was called "Are Your Workouts Aging You?" So how people, how their workouts are actually potentially detrimental to their health.
Right. That's almost a whole nother show unto itself. But sure. And I think some of the, you know, it's interesting. As much as we've progressed in society, I still go into health clubs and I see a lot of the exercise classes being taught with the same old exercises, you know, the same old crunches, hands behind the head, crunching, doing the bicycles, twisting, crunching. I see now planks, which is really very popular now in a lot of the Pilates. And those are two that stand out in my mind that age you quicker than anything else.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, the traditional crunching because, again, what are you doing? Forward flexion, forward flexion. So you did that all day long at the office. Now you're going to go and work out in a class. It's going to put you in more forward flexion. And not only that, weaken out the extensor muscles in your neck and actually give you neck lines and, you know, all kinds of degeneration in your neck as well. There's better ways to work the abs without, you know, taking that 10-pound head and going back and forth between 10 pounds, 40 pounds, 10 pounds, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And wow. I think I've heard a couple of your podcasts about that having to do with, you know, leg lifts and that kind of thing. It's just important to support the lower back. But love that. In fact, it's one of the, it seems like a revelation to my patients who come in that are in pretty good shape. And once we get over the back pain, the neck pain, or whatever they came in for, you know, I teach them exercises to substitute for the ones that are aging them. And it's pretty amazing how much I'm like, wow, I never knew I could work my abs this way, and I'm getting the same benefit.
Awesome.
So there's definitely things you have to be aware of. And the plank is one of my pet peeves also.
Just, I'm glad I never do it.
It's interesting. I find as a group exercise instructor, I do personal training. I also do group classes, and and it's frustrating because you're almost required to do like the planks and crunches, because if you don't, members will be really upset. Like, they're so set on I have to feel my abs working that if you don't do it, they will actually complain to management about not working not getting the abs worked. And it's like one of these, it's like this kind of, there needs to be like a paradigm shift in the fitness world to get away from that.
Right. That's a very good point as far as the paradigm shift, because, and that can happen. It definitely can happen, because look what happened back in the 80s when we made that huge shift from high impact exercises, finding out how detrimental they were. And all of a sudden, what's the new buzzword? Low impact, right? That was a huge shift.
Yeah.
You know, I was out of the country and I was trying to introduce the low impact and they weren't having it. They were like, no, we need to jump. We need to burn. I'm like, it's a difficult to change ways of thinking, you know. It takes sometimes somebody's personal experience in order for them to make that paradigm shift.
Yeah.
So, all right, one last question. Tammy, are you a Gymwits fan?
I am. Love the fact that you guys are kind of, you know, like I said, you're always interested in kind of debunking the myths out there. You're open-minded, which is great. You can tell that in your in the different topics that you cover. You know, you're young, you're energetic, you're trying to educate people. I think it's great.
Thank you. Awesome.
So
we appreciate
now tell
that.
Tell us, because I find your website's been it's a really great resource. And so I guess if you can tell our listeners a little bit about what you offer, what your website offers, your DVDs, like any information that you have that you'd like to share with our listeners would be great.
Sure. Well, the website is practicaltherapyforyou.com, and it is a compilation of healing videos, which can show you different ways to get results, whether it be neck pain, back pain. One of my favorite is 2 minutes to a better laptop. It's one of the worst things people can do is lay in bed and work on their laptop. You've got a great product that you can use from IKEA on that particular one. So there's a lot of free educational videos on there, and a lot of them are just 2 minutes. So 2 minutes and you learn something. Go back and revisit it, and it becomes, you know, ingrained in your psyche and your everyday activities. We also have a lot of articles and blogs up there, blog information, things that have been published in the news too about aging and posture, different types of pain in the body. And then our DVD series covers the major types of pain that people experience, and that's primarily back pain. In fact, that's the number one cause of people considering physical therapists in the country or doctors at all. Back is huge. And the bad part is that why they might feel temporary relief is something, it always comes back because they're not addressing the core problem. Or the main problem, let's not say the core, the main problem there. So we have, and then better balance. That's a great one. If somebody has an aging parent or grandparent and they start to see them having some balance issues, this whole DVD is geared to simple exercises, super simple movement patterns that they can do in bed that will translate to better balance for them. And
that's great.
Tips on that. And, of course, the knees and the neck, different parts of the body. And these are programs that I have developed personally over the years. You'll find them a little bit kind of non-traditional, which is the whole point of that, is to kind of show you that you don't have to do it the traditional way. And it's not going to give you the same benefits doing the quote-unquote traditional way. But yet look at the body in a different way and start to address pain and weakness in a way that you never thought before, and something so easy that you integrate in your daily activities that even if you miss a few days at the gym doing your regular routine, you can still maintain. And, you know, in the end, it's all about maintaining our body, right? It's like a machine that we've got to keep well-oiled, well-conditioned, and make sure we're using the right parts.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tammy, you are a wealth of information. Everything was fantastic. This was just really great stuff that everyone should be paying attention to. So we would like to thank you so much for being on the Jim Witz. You're welcome to come back anytime. And again, just thank you so much.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that, Justin and Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. Keep doing what you're doing, and if you ever come across a topic that you'd like some input on or some advice or just a different perspective, I'm always open. So keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for having me.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, so that was some good stuff right there.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, and it's good to talk with a professional that's got that experience because, you know, and,
wasn't
and
even
it kind
aware
of,
exactly.
I know
gravity
kinda,
is the
exactly,
enemy.
Yeah. No, it's, well, it's, I don't know if it's, it's not the enemy, but it's something that you need to be aware of and you have to work around. And I think it was really cool to have
it's
that.
Not, gravity is your friend, that's for sure.
Yeah, it kind of is our friend. Mm. You know, I don't want to make it out to be the enemy, but it's,
well,
it's kind of.
Tammy was saying.
I don't think she said that. I think you're putting words in her mouth. But either way, I mean, that was a great talk, and we definitely would like to have her on because I think there are so many little things we could have gone off into whole other podcasts based on some of the stuff that we talked about. So yeah. I definitely would look forward to having her back. So that's it. So as usual, all of our stuff can be found at thejimwitz.com. All of our social media, everything you can find there. If you have questions, comments,
download the app.
Yeah, download the
it's
app. Yes.
Around.
We added bonus content this week, so if you had the app, you had some bonus content. And we're going to keep trying to do that. So definitely download the app if you have a chance. That's it. So, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Jimwitz.